Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in the heavens. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. The title of the sermon today is The Little Things. And I think one of the principles that I'm hoping you're starting to get is that when we make course corrections, sometimes we aim too high too quickly. I don't know what it was like for you when you first came to Jesus. If you grew up in the church, you may not have this story. But if you came to faith later, you might. Where you come to Jesus and suddenly you feel like everything you've never been able to do, you'll be able to do. And you set your sights super high. And maybe when you first come to Jesus, you read the Sermon on the Mount, you say, absolutely, I'm never going to be angry again. I'm never going to lust again. I'm never going to seek retribution for wrongs against me ever again. I'm just going to live the way Jesus asked me to. And you can do that for like a week, a day, a few hours at least, right? After you've made those commitments. But life is more difficult. And oftentimes, and Jesus is helping us to understand this, is that even though we know where God is sending us, we don't arrive there instantly. For most of us, the journey from where God found us to where he's leading us is a journey that's going to take a number of steps. And so holiness is not so much measured by moments as it is by decades of walking with Jesus. And so Jesus is trying to help us first to understand where the law was starting us, and then give us a sense of where the law is pointing us, and then to help us to understand what the road from here, the law of Moses, to there, the kingdom of the heavens, looks like, so we can evaluate whether or not we're on it. That's the Sermon on the Mount. So we've been talking about course corrections, how we make nudges in the direction God wants us to go, how we take the things we can control to affect the things we cannot. It's like a lever, right? Like you can't pick up a boulder that weighs 2,000 pounds just by your will, right? That's what it would be like to just choose not to lust, right? It's like going up to a 2,000-pound boulder and saying, Lord, make me Samson. You know, I mean, you could try that. And for some people, it might work. But for most of us, we're going to need to figure out how we're going to move this boulder. And it takes by getting a lever with the right power. And so sometimes you move the boulder by moving something else. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes you move the boulder by moving something else first. And most of us remain slaves in our spiritual lives because we don't attend to the things we can control. We constantly focus on the things we can't. And that is a recipe for continued failure for the rest of your life. So that's what Jesus is helping us to understand. Human hearts are moved, motivated by character. But the human heart is a complicated thing. Why do you choose to do this rather than that? The things we experience, the choices that we make, the way that we live, the things that are done to us, the things that we do, they shape who we are. And our instinctive responses are built on the character that has been forming in us. Character is both what happens to us and how we choose to respond, and a bunch of other things. Probably genetics and other things are into that. So Jesus recognizes that when we make choices, those choices are built on who we are. So Jesus recognizes that you can't just change who someone is by simply changing their behavior. You have to change their heart. How do you change the heart of a person? So Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is helping us to recognize the small decisions we make every day that influence the character we are building. And so we have to look at our decisions in the long run. It might seem innocent now, but that particular behavior for Jesus, as it calcifies over time, leads us out of the kingdom. And so however justifiable some of the things we do might be in the moment, Jesus looks at what it will do to us in terms of character. And sometimes we have to sacrifice what's right in the moment for what is right forever. And so what chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 begins to talk about are the little things that we can do to hold off the pride that will inevitably grow as we become more and more Christ-like. Little things. It starts here in verse 1. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you'll lose the reward from your Father in the heavens. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they've received all the reward they will ever get. Jesus tells us to resist performing for people. Resist performing for people. Our good deeds are truly good when we do them without a thought as to who's watching. Now, Jesus does call us to be salt and light. And in that teaching, we might come to believe that the reason we're to live right is so that people will see. And so we start to think that Christianity is a performance for the world, right? That would be a logical thing to assume. And so it seems only natural that if we're supposed to do our good deeds in front of people, that those good deeds would be best done with more people. And so we're supposed to gather a crowd for our good deeds. That's how the Pharisees read it. But Jesus says that's a misunderstanding of what I'm trying to say. He responds, and this is my paraphrase, yes and no. Yes, your deeds will be seen and should be seen, and they will bear witness, but no, you are not to concern yourselves that they are seen. If you live the kind of life, if we live the kind of life Jesus is asking us to live, our works will be seen. But we undergird a worldly way of thinking when we try to build a platform to make sure people see it. Our attempts to gather a crowd, to influence people, to build a platform, as I say today, that won't lead us into the kingdom of the heavens. That is not the road to the kind of world God is building. We must live in the light of Jesus' teachings, no matter who is watching, and no matter who might do likewise with us. And we can trust that God will make visible what he wants made visible. So the first is that we need to resist performance. But here quickly, we also need to resist piety. Piety is your and my attempt to be holy. It's the things we do to make God happy. It's the self-introspection we do saying, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? Am I holy enough? It's a way of looking at ourselves and asking those kinds of questions. We have to be careful with piety. But when you give to someone in need, verse 3, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. What Jesus is talking about, I mean, how can your left hand not know what your right hand is doing? He's talking about habit. He's talking about things you don't think about. The people of the kingdom are a people who do by habit what is right. Which means we know we're living into the kingdom if we don't give a second thought to the good that we do. We just do it. Almost without thought. Maybe we're unaware of the peril of you and I thinking too much about our own holiness. It's a good thing to think about what God is asking us to do. But it can be a dangerous thing to keep asking the questions, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? Am I suffering enough? We are called to do, church, the good that is before us to do. We are not judged for the good we didn't do that we had no opportunity to do. Nothing will limit your good works in this world more than thinking about all the good you could do if you had more money, if you lived in another place, if you left home. If you think about all the things you could do if you weren't living where and how you presently are, you are wasting your time. There is good to do right here where you are, and that is our responsibility. We're called to do the good that is before us to do. The question is never, have I done enough? there will never be enough done. The question is not, have I done enough? The question daily is, have I done what was before me to do? Have I loved when I have opportunity? Now, it is true that God calls some people to forsake their life in one place and to go and live in another. Missionaries, pastors, humanitarian workers are called to do those things. If God's asking you to do that, you need to do it when the time is right. But we don't wait to serve God until that's done. We do the good that's before us every day in every place. And that's all that is asked of us. So don't ask yourself, have I done enough? Ask yourself, have I done what was before me to do? The desire to be seen or to have an influence or to keep tally of our good deeds, none of those things will help us journey into the kingdom of the heavens. Those are worldly things. They don't help us get to where Jesus is pointing us. We can divest ourselves of those burdens. If we simply follow Jesus as we have opportunity in the course of the life he has entrusted to us, a life that is engaged with the world, that is lived in the public sphere, but is not concerned with the public's eyes, we will be, according to Jesus in this sermon, perfect. Now, perfect for God is different than perfect for humans. What Jesus is more or less saying is, in God's eyes, you'll have done everything he's asked, and that's what perfection is. Perfection is doing what the Lord has asked us to do. There may be a standard of perfection. Humans will never be there. But perfection for God is you simply doing what he has asked you to do. If you do it, you're perfect in God's eyes. So stop keeping score.